Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Of course, I'm Dave Smith. Of course, he's Robbie the Fire Bernstein, the King of the Cocks, back with you good people for another episode. How you doing, Robbie?
I'm doing good. And quick plug, November 28th, New Hampshire, December 5th, doing a Run Your Mouth end of year, full year recap with stand up and everything. So get some tickets.
I saw the Mises Caucus, your loyal subjects, were promoting your event in Philly the other day on Michael Heiss had a stream and he was promoting you.
Awesome.
I'm not happy about it. I quickly complained. I said, do not promote Robbie the Fire Bernstein on your platform, please. But yeah, I think a bunch of the Meacocks are going to come out for you. I'm kidding.
This is going to be a defining Meacock moment. Are you kidding me? I'm giving a full recap presentation. I'm going to get everyone fired up. It's going to be like a beer hall putsch. We're going to get out in the streets and start taking over Philly one block at a time. But we're going to give them freedom after we take them over. We'll be like, we're free now. You're welcome.
All right. Very good. Well, make sure you come out to see Robbie the Fire. Absolutely hilarious comedian. If you haven't seen him live before, make sure you go do that. So for today's episode, there's a video that I want to play that I think will be fun to respond to. But before we do that, I did want to talk a little bit about what was going on around the country, particularly in Washington, D.C. yesterday, where they had what I believe was called the Million Trump March, or something like that. So it was a big march of Trump supporters, and they really drew huge crowds in Washington, D.C. And other cities around the country as well. And then, of course, after nightfall, there were some clashes, some Antifa people came out, some violence ensued. I know you, Rob, you were watching some of that stuff. What were your thoughts?
I really think as a society, we are messing up in a really bad way right now and not getting rid of and treating this Antifa problem. Like, I think if you look back on school shootings, and I think that part of why those are more of a thing now is the way in which they were reported, that if you're a kid and you're miserable, you're like, all right, I guess I'll do that thing. I think we made a mistake about the way that we kind of overreported those events and really gave those kids a home to kind of live on and, you know, be played up in the news. But I think we're really missing that these are violent people and we don't want to live in a society where everyone's afraid of violence. And so that, you know, hey, the only way I can rightfully protest is if I get together with my gang and we're prepared to go out there and be violent. That's not the society that we want. We could start getting into, I already have some ideas how we could easily unwind what's going on. But it just feels like we're letting this group of people get away with it because there's some sort of branch of government that likes having them there or likes having the chaos or wants this group on the left that they can somehow partner with. But it really should be unacceptable and we should be getting rid of it because it's not heading anywhere good.
Oh yeah, no question about that. And I mean, I was talking about this on SE Cup show in 2017. This has been something that's been going on for years now, where pretty much any time any group that is on the right at all has some type of event, there's going to be these Antifa Black Bloc guys who show up there and commit acts of violence against people. And this is like the fact that it's just been accepted for this long. I mean, can you imagine? And I guess at this point, it's almost tired and obvious to make this point. But if you know, like at the Pussy Hat March or something like that, if right wingers were showing up and just like beating people up at these marches, this would be the number one story. This shit would be shut down in a second. And it's not, as you were kind of getting at, it's not like that crazy or hard to shut this shit down. If there, you know, like if there was the will of the press, of the government, of even just private citizens being allowed to do it and not being prosecuted by the government, even if it was as simple as, which is probably the best case, the best solution, is just the other thing, like we're going to allow people to defend themselves. I think you could clean this mess up in a second. But yeah, this is really bad. And there was a lot about yesterday that kind of demonstrated where we're at as a country. And one of the things that was demonstrated, which is what we've been talking about for a while now, is that even if you're, and I think is a flaw with the whole democratic system that we have, but even if you're, you know, an anti-Trumper, you're like, thank God we got Trump out of there, you know, or whatever. You're, even if he's not conceding the election, you're like, Joe Biden's won and he's about to be put in there. So there you go. Big bad wolf is dead. You got Donald Trump out of there. It's like, okay, but what about the 72 million people who voted for him? Now, they're all still here. You're still sharing a country with these people, whether you like it or not. And yeah, this is what I've been talking about, like really for the last couple months. You know, when Trump's going to central Pennsylvania and drawing 50,000+ people to his crowd who are chanting, "We love you," for 3 straight minutes before he can get a word out. You're like, okay, so you can get this guy, you know, maybe he loses the election, maybe it's stolen from him, whatever it is. Okay, but what about all those people? They're not gone. They're still here. And they still are in love with the president, even though I don't know how in love with them he is, but you know, it's like, so they're still here. You still got to deal with the fact that all these people exist in the country. And then you have the fact that even that, right, even if it, from the Antifa point of view, if Donald Trump's been defeated and is on his way out, you still can't march there supporting him. They're still going to come out to counter protest that. So it's not as if it's a war against Donald Trump. It's a war against half the country. And this is, as you said, this is going in a really bad direction. It's not something any normal person should want to say.
Yeah, we should not be tolerating a group of individuals who are going out on a weekly basis, not allowing other people to have their freedoms or their right to protest, and bringing violence out into the streets. That will only be met with more violence over time. It is just the wrong direction. And I was watching some of these videos of what's going on. So in one of them, you've got a guy who's actually like a really tough dude, and like the Antifa mob is starting to kind of surround them, and he's putting his hands up. He's like, who wants it? Come on. Like, who wants it? And so what they do is random individuals jump forward, they punch you a couple times, and then they jump back. And now you're facing a whole group of people that aren't the person that just punched you. You can't figure out who just punched you. And then giant people come around from behind with the intended purpose of trying to blindside you from behind.
Yeah.
You watch enough footage of that and you start to realize, like, okay, if there's a group of these people, I have to attack all of them for my own safety. There's no way for me to. And how does that then look in the courts down the line when you're the person who, let's just go with the theoretical, you're an MMA guy and you have the ability to take on 20 people, and there's 20 people, and you literally take out all 20 of them. So how does that work in court that you're not responsible? Like, and then there's this other thing where mainstream media is trying to downplay the amount of numbers of who was out there. You know, they were like the thousands. I think there was 1 million people, or I've seen some reports of that. But then they go, of course it led to violence. And that is such a gross mafia type move, where they, like, you go out there to peacefully protest and you know that other people are going to show up and do violence. And it's like, you brought the violence to Washington. No, you didn't. Like, that's not the way it works. They're not responsible because, you know, I don't know, if I decide to stand outside my door and the result is that one of the neighbors is going to scream at the top of their lungs before I go inside. I didn't bring obnoxious noises to the street.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is something we talked about, you know, a lot over this last summer, but when there's a violent mob, individual justice or justice in general, which is a very individual thing. Justice is a very individual thing, despite what some on the left might tell you. Justice is like, this guy, aggressed upon me. He caused these damages. He is now, you know, obligated to pay restitution or whatever. He has to be punished for what he did. When there's a mob of people there, right, like you said, and you're being attacked by some of them and they're randomly jumping out at you, it's very hard to sit there and go like, well, who do I have a right to defend myself against and who do I not? Who's the aggressor? In that case, you kind of just have to judge the group as the aggressor. Which is unfortunate. It's a very dangerous position to be in. But you know, one of the things that just as a man, the Antifa shit is so appalling, is that there is literally zero honor to the way they fight. And that's just look, I'm not, you know, advocating anybody get violent unless you absolutely need to defend yourself. But there is at least some degree of honor of like challenging another man to a one-on-one, like being like, okay, you want to fight? Let's fight. There is no honor in a group who waits for nightfall to then start kind of like doing this weird thing. They act like vultures. If you've seen like the way they fight, they surround people until like they're kind of have their, you know, their back turned to them. And then one jumps in and will like jab you and then run back into the crowd. Like I just don't understand. I know I've made this point before, but I 100% understand a man who wants to fight. Like I get that. I get someone being like, okay, let's fucking do this. Like me and you, let's fight. I 100% understand a man who doesn't want to fight. Who's like, yeah, dude, I'm not going to get into a fist fight with you. You know, like I can understand both of those perspectives. What I have real trouble understanding is the guy who wants to walk out of a group of people, ding you once, and then run back into the group of people. Like, how does that guy, how do you go home and look in the mirror and not just feel like a coward? Like be like, I am so mortified that I want to kill myself, that this is actually how I go out and fist fight people, is jump out there, hit him, run back into the crowd. Then when he turns to look at another guy, run up and blindside him. And it's just like, it's hard. And
attacking the elderly, attacking people sitting at restaurants, right, trying people to storm sitting, hotels.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, it's just like, what is wrong with you? And it really, that question, by the way, is a fairly important question that should be asked. Like, what is wrong with you? And actually search for answers, not just
That's the biggest failing of the media. Everything that they pretended the Proud Boys to be, you actually have a violent group that's recruiting young people, that's suppressing other political opinions and bringing violence to the street. How is that not something that we're talking about on a daily basis? You want to talk about an actual growing threat to just good civility and people not living their lives in fear of violence from others, which only escalates. That's how violence escalates, is everyone goes, oh, I got to get that person before they get me. People stop feeling comfortable in their own homes. It's just headed in the wrong direction. And so how is that not the thing that you're reporting on? That should be every day on the news, is what is going on in colleges? Where is the money coming from this organization? How are they recruiting people? Why isn't government trying to shut them down? Should they be given a terrorist label? Maybe that goes too far. But how is there not a significant conversation about a growing trend towards some sort of a movement that's recruiting kids to go out on their weekends and be violent on the streets? It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, and the truth is that the entire summer, the media did the best to give cover to all of these groups, the peaceful protests, even when you're watching this shit constantly. I mean, it's so weird in an age when we have the internet that they'd still be like, oh, look at these mostly peaceful protests. And you're like, yeah, but I see the videos. I'm watching what's happening here. You can't like tell me this video isn't real. Like it's a live stream that I'm watching these people do, you know? And so they cover for them. There's no kind of like, you know, like even in areas in, where was it in Seattle at the Chaz, you know, like thing, like they, you know, they're allowing them, hey, the cops will kind of step back. If you do all this shit, you can terrorize, you know, business owners, terrorize innocent people. No one's doing anything. And when you do that, you know, it's just like having like a bratty child who you constantly allow and reward when they do this. What's going to happen? I mean, you're literally in some weird non-economic way subsidizing this terrible destructive behavior. And yeah, it's a real problem. And the fact that, you know, and a lot of us saw this coming, but the fact that it's not even like their candidate lost now and they're going around rioting, which we knew they were going to do if Donald Trump won. But the truth is that even when they see Donald Trump as losing, which he likely is, you know, going to, even then, just the fact that his supporters want to come out and have just like a peaceful show of, you know, we're still Trump supporters and feel however you feel about that. But like, you know, they're within their rights to do so. Now, by the way, I've always said I'm not like not a big protest guy. And I thought the fucking like Women's March, for example, the pussy hats wearers or something like that, I thought it was kind of stupid. I mean, this one seemed less stupid to me because they didn't have, you know, genitalia on their heads. But if people started jumping out and like assaulting people at the Women's March, you'd be like, this is like insane. This needs to be stopped. However it's stopped, it needs to be stopped. You can't just like fucking assault people for walking down the street and voicing their opinions. And yet this is like, when this happens to Trump supporters, it just seems like nobody, with the exception of some like right-wing groups on the internet, is really like standing up for these people or defending them. And one of the things that's really, you know, I hope maybe eye-opening to some of these Trump supporters is that, you know, this has been happening to Trump supporters since 2016. It might be getting worse, but it's really been going on. I've seen more videos than I could possibly count of people in like MAGA hats being, you know, assaulted and beat up, bloodied up and stuff like that. Trump really doesn't seem to really care that much. I mean, he's mentioned it like a few different times, but even just in terms of like vocally standing up for them, he really could do so much more. And I hope some of those people realize, and this is part of the real issue with Trump being your guy, is that Trump is just the most naked narcissist in the history of the world. And he will go crazy all day long over whether he was robbed or he was wronged or he's the victim of a witch hunt or whatever, that there seems to be no compassion from him for his supporters, like his people who are out there wearing the, you know, his clothes and Trump signs and all this, who are the ones who are chanting "we love you" to him. He just doesn't seem to be that motivated to actually stand up for them. And even if it's hard for him to like get a law passed or you know, get like the fucking FBI or something like that to crack down on Antifa, he could just say something. He could bring it up more often. He could show some compassion for those people. And he really doesn't. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Quip. You know Quip, the electric toothbrush you hear about all the time, but it's their sleek, reusable floss pick you'll want to use next. The durable handle is easy to guide, restrings with a click, and comes with a compact mirrored dispensing case for on-the-go use. I just got this thing. It's incredible. It's the only way I floss now. So much easier, so much simpler than the traditional just holding a piece of floss or using those crappy little picks that like don't really do the job. Plus, a single refill pod replaces over 180 single-use plastic flosser. So it's better for your teeth and the environment. Not a pick person, Quip also has refillable floss strings that expand to clean. Pair your floss with their perfect electric toothbrush for adults and kids. Quip has the simple guiding features that you need. I've told you about this before, but the timed sonic vibrations with guiding pulses, they help you brush better. Make sure you hit every quadrant of your mouth. You don't overbrush and damage your gums. You don't underbrush and leave plaque behind. And now you can get amazing rewards just for brushing your teeth better every day. Quip Smart Electric Toothbrush connects to their free Quip app, so you can earn amazing rewards like free products and discounts as you track and coach better oral health habits 2 minutes twice a day. Quip also delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the store. This is just a great company. They will take care of all of your oral health habit needs. It comes on a schedule. It's really reasonably priced, and it's the best products on the market. So go to getquip.com/problem right now, and they'll throw in your first refill for free. That's your first refill for free at getquip.com/problem, GETQUIP.com/problem. Quip, better oral health made simple. All right, let's get back into the show.
I think we need to have a real movement in this country. The protest that police need to start offering public safety. If the cops are going to exist and they're going to tax us and they're going to write me tickets for going through red lights and they're going to arrest people for drug laws, they need to start offering public safety, which includes that after these events take place, there should be a show of force where they're unwinding cars, who came from where, using, you know, there's enough camera footage of who these individuals are, who are throwing punches, who are breaking stuff, maybe outlaw wearing the masks. Maybe that's too much of an erosion of freedom. I don't know. You can have a conversation about that, but there should be a show of force after every single weekend where Antifa members are being arrested and prosecuted for like, I haven't seen any of that. And no one should be accepting of that. It should not be that we've got a police department and people go out on their weekends, they cause violence or they, you know, destroy buildings and no one gets arrested. That just shouldn't be. And also the cops should be coming forward and saying, either here are the resources that we need, or we're no longer protecting you. So make sure you got a gang when you come out to protest. Like, you can't have it both ways. And it should be a real conversation in this country that right now, the cops are failing to offer public safety to people who want to be in their own cities. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I agree. And I think that, like, look, if we do have police departments, if we do have police in this country, state police, then at the very minimum, you would want them to protect people and property. I mean, like, that's the minimum of what you would expect from them. But I also do think that it's pretty important to recognize that they are not to be relied on. I mean, like, the cops are, for all the fucking police budgets that we have in this country, of the biggest police budgets in the world, the most militarized police in the world, and they simply do not have any interest in protecting people, in protecting your most basic freedom. Like, your freedom to go out and say, you know, you support the president or whatever, you know, your freedom to just be safe and secure in your home or in your business or on your streets that you pay tax dollars for. So, yeah, it's horrible, but it should be, if nothing else, a big awakening for right wingers about what the police actually are. And you can say all you want to that, well, they're ordered to stand down or something like that. Like, okay. Well, they're happy to follow those orders. So just, you know, be aware that if the order was round up your guns, if the order was, who knows, round up you, they'd quite possibly follow those orders as well. Now, we've already shown over this last year that if their orders are arrest people for going to a church service, they will follow those orders. If their orders are, you know, arrest somebody for defending their home against a mob, they will follow those orders. And if their orders are stand down while a bunch of left-wing psychopaths like destroy your city, they'll follow those orders as well, with very few notable exceptions. And the cops will follow their orders.
Here's what's so, I guess, irritating about that framework. Let's just say theoretically, you're the people who are organizing this million march on Washington, right? And so ahead of time, you realize, hey, there's a million people coming. And so you reach out to these different militia groups and you actually get 40,000 people. And you're like, this is going to be our security. And every single time the Antifa people are showing up to whatever parking lots they're showing up in, you just kind of come in and let them know that they got to go home. Maybe you kind of duke it out right then and there. But there's no problem with Antifa. You make sure that Antifa gets nowhere near any of the elderly, any of these people. What ends up happening? They bring you to court and they tell you, you have no right in order to do this. And that's why we have the cops here. The cops are here in order. But it's like, well, the cops aren't doing that. But guess what? They're not going to cop to that in court. They're not going to, you know what I mean? Like, that's the ultimate bureaucracy where they claim, well, we have the proper channels. And well, you don't. So right. Quit pretending. And this is where the, I know you've talked about it, but this is where you're really going to get this bad movement from the conservatives, is when Biden's talking about unity while taking away rights from the people that didn't vote for him, doing forced lockdowns, while groups like Antifa are, you know, pushing back on you allowing to even protest. That's when someone's going to rise up and go, okay, we don't get along with these people. Like, they want to act this way. Fuck them. And that's when you end up living in a fucking police state. Like, it just, we've got active violence right now. This is a real thing. It's not like a theoretical. It's, I watched the footage of what just happened in Washington. You saw what happened over the summer. This is the number one thing we should be dealing with as a country right now, is how do we have civility in the streets? How do we have cops offering protection to, like, doing their job and offering public safety? And how do we not have a growing movement of a violent, you know, Antifa thing? It just, this should not be an accepted thing.
Yeah. Well, the truth is that people need to feel secure in their persons, in their homes, in their businesses. There's a very fundamental, like, building block of living in a civilization. If you don't have that, you really have nothing. And I agree with you that it's really, really, it's scary that that's been so eroded over this year. And like I said, it's been building for years, but it's really taken quite a turn. And again, like you would just say, these 70 plus million people who voted for Donald Trump, they're not going anywhere. And so this is something that they are not going to forget. And the images that are seen online by so many people, where you have so many people getting their news now from social media. And, you know, this is something that is something we're going to have to deal with going forward. And it gave you a little bit of an indication as to whether or not, you know, a lot of people, I think there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people who voted for Joe Biden, who were kind of hoping, it's almost like they were like paying off the shakedown. Like they were like, okay, I'm over all of this. I hate the fucking Trump craziness. I hate the media craziness that Trump brings out. I hate the craziness in the streets. If we just vote for Joe Biden, then can we go back to normal? Like, then can there stop being riots? And like, will that appease these people if we just put Biden in there, you know? And now it seems to be a pretty clear indication that no, this is not going to be enough. And that still, if you just want to have any, you know, right-wing position at all, you're probably going to be met with this type of shit. So it's a bad sign. It's a really bad sign for the country. All right. Okay. So with the time we have left, because I feel like this will take some time to go through. But so I've been sent this by a bunch of different people, several people have just told me, like, you have to respond to this. And I've always, you know, kind of said on this show that, like, you know, listen, I'm down to fucking debate anybody. I'll take on any of these, like, debunking libertarianism videos or like any of this shit. So, I guess, Hassan Piker, I might be butchering that name. He made a video about me and my appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience. And the video is titled something really clever. It is "Right-Wing Libertarians Are Stupid." So, you know, very good. And it's got like 150,000 views on it. And evidently he's a... I really don't know much about this guy, but he is... I believe, I'm not wrong about this, he's a communist male model who works for the Young Turks. Evidently, he's Cenk Uygur's like cousin or nephew or something like that. So he's related to the guy who started the Young Turks, and he got a job there.
This guy gets all the pussy, or getting pussy is violence to him? So he just like holds probably all of his cum and...
Yeah, it's something in that range. He is probably allowed to. It's like everyone else getting laid is violence, but me getting laid is totally awesome. But anyway, he made a video where he was watching me on Rogan and responding to that. So a lot of people wanted me to address this. Now, I will say I've only watched about 3 minutes of this, so I don't know where this goes.
How pretty is he? Am I in for a real treat? I said, how pretty is he? Am I in for a real treat here?
Oh, he's pretty. He's pretty. He's he's also a big like video game. He's a big gamer. So that's what we're dealing with here. But anyway, so here's we'll go through. He's watching me. So now let's us watch him, and we'll respond to what
Fox
he has to
News
say.
Has taken a turn, ladies and gentlemen. They seem to have made a conscious internal decision to not favor Donald Trump anymore.
I don't think Fox News was ever that behind Donald Trump. I mean, there's a few people at Fox News who are
What? Who is this person, dude? Fox News wasn't all that favorable to Donald Trump. What? What is he, crazy? Is he out of his mind? Have you watched Fox News?
Pause it right there.
Oh, God.
That guy's a male model. Can I just comment off the bat? That's a model. Firstly, he's got a fucking back thing. His back hurts. He's sitting in a chair massaging his own back while he talks because it hurts. What a fucking dweeb, dude.
It couldn't, but everything about the visual of this couldn't be more more perfect. But anyway, so he's asked, who the hell am I? I'm Dave. And I'm pretty sure my name is in the episode title. So it's easy enough to figure out. Could have done a little bit of research. But yeah, so what am I talking about? Well, I mean, I think I make it pretty clear in the clip, but let's keep playing to see what his problem with what I'm saying is.
It's going to be, this is going to be insane to watch.
But as an organization, I mean, remember, they were very hostile to him in the Republican primary. He wasn't the Fox News guy. Jeb Bush was the Fox News guy.
Did nothing happen between the primaries in the past 4 years? I'm so confused. Did you watch Fox News during the primaries, fall asleep for the past 4 years in the coma, just woke up tonight, and only specifically watch like broadcasts during the day with like Bret Baier and stuff, where they do more serious news reporting for the most part, and failed to watch any of the commentary sessions at night? Well, he is wearing a Libertarian Institute shirt, so obviously he's very smooth up there. You can probably see yourself in the reflection. I mean, that shit is probably sandpapered down.
Read that article again.
All right, let's pause it there. All right. Well, I think I'll probably go with the intellectuals at the Libertarian Institute over the commie male model, but all right, insults aside, no, I didn't fall asleep for the last 4 years. And yes, I've watched a lot of Fox News. I've been on several shows on Fox News over those years. As I said in the clip, yes, obviously there are people at Fox News who are big Trump supporters. So yes, Hannity and Laura Ingraham are Trump supporters. I'm not denying that. My point is that, as a lot of people may have seen, Joe Rogan starts by saying, look, Fox has taken a turn. They're like throwing Trump under the bus. And I was just making the point that I think they were never really for Trump. And as evidence, look, they didn't want the guy to get in to begin with. Yes, once Trump dominated and took over the Republican Party, Fox basically had no choice but to fall in line. However, if you see them where they're calling, you know, what was it, Arizona, before anybody else is, when they're, you know, have all of their people from the George W. Bush administration, Karl Rove, all these guys basically saying Joe Biden won and he should concede. When you see them cutting away from Trump's press secretary saying we won't air fake news on this channel. Yeah, that's something. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think Bret Baier and Chris Wallace and the Fox News, you know, decision desk and all these people are behind Donald Trump. There doesn't seem to be much evidence that they are. So that's kind of the point. Not that I fell asleep for years and haven't watched Fox News. And yes, I'm aware that their late night opinion shows are made up of Trump supporters. Like, okay.
I point out this guy's face suck, but he does have a good body. I can tell he's hitting the gym. I could see shirt off, like maybe that's attractive to women, pussy face, but still great body. also, in terms of bringing this up from your whole, I mean, what do you have, a 3-hour talk with Rogan and then you got into the weeds on some brilliant libertarian ideas and some of the biggest problems facing our society? A side point about whether or not Fox News is really behind Trump, if that's the number one thing he wants to criticize from the entire conversation, you know what I mean? He's really just not trying to take on any of the real issues or things that are worth discussing.
Yeah, he's well, this is what he's got. And then, of course, he can take this on and say like, oh, yeah, real, you know, smooth brain or whatever. But again, it's just
is that an insult? When did that become an insult? Having a smooth brain?
I don't know. But this guy's a model Twitcher. He's real. He's up on the latest slang. But
even so, I
don't.
That.
But look, I'm not wrong about what I'm saying. And all of the evidence is kind of backing me up. Yeah, Fox News was not for Donald Trump to begin with in 2016. And as soon as there's an opportunity to throw him to the wolves, they seem to be jumping on that. So yeah, it's kind of worth noting. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is UBDI. If you've seen The Social Dilemma, you know big tech companies use your data to your detriment by manipulating what you see, controlling where your data goes, and leaving you devoid of data property rights. While you can't stop YouTube from censoring Ron Paul, you can take your data and attention away from platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Google to compete in the market for the value present in your data. UBDI was built by a fan of this show to solve this social problem by allowing members to talk, learn, and earn with their data across apps like Spotify, Robinhood, Amazon, LinkedIn, Steam, and dozens more, all in one anonymous social network. UBDI helps you understand and visualize the data these companies store on you as you build a digital asset library only you own and control. With UBDI, you can enter verified bot-free tribes of people, kind of like joining a fitness community, by linking your Fitbit, Apple Health, or Google Fit. Inside these verified groups, you might see someone sharing their hottest Robinhood trades with other, you know, people who are interested in that. You might talk about what you're binging on Netflix. If you're more into crypto, you can view cryptocurrencies, what other members are trading on exchanges like Binance, Coinbase, and Gemini, and you can ask what they know that you don't. The best part is that with UBDI, you will make 70% of the profit for any of the data you consent to share with companies. And you can cash out in precious metals like gold or dozens of cryptocurrencies, soon even stocks, if you don't want to hold on to any government currency. Head over to UBDI.com or download UBDI on Apple Store or Google Play. Check it out, UBDI.com. All right, let's keep playing.
Biden Associates records don't show, but what does that mean?
So like, that's why they flipped. Like, that's why they're centrist now. Is that what it is? Basically what you're saying is, like, as a conservative, if Fox News is not universally just saying that this entire election is a farce and any number of different, like, psychotic conspiracies, for example, that means that they're centrist and they hate Donald Trump, which is an insane take, especially considering the fact that they are literally still defending Donald Trump. I mean, Laura Ingraham just had, you know, the Watergate Andy also doing that deep voice or fake voice poll watcher in Nevada. So very clearly, Fox News is still in on the conspiracy. They're not gonna let go of their monies, because Donald Trump is very successful at captivating the Republican.
But listen to this.
All right, let's pause it right there. So here's something that you'll notice in these videos. And there's actually a good amount of social science that backs this up. Jonathan Haidt, I believe he's at NYU, Columbia or NYU. He's put out a bunch of these studies, and they're like real deal studies with very large sample sizes. People on the, if you give surveys to people on the right and people on the left, and you ask them to fill it out as the opposite. So in other words, you ask a right winger, what does a left winger believe? They're pretty good at telling you what a left winger believes. If you ask a left winger to tell you what a right winger believes, they're horrible at it. They're like incapable of doing it. And there's several reasons for this. Partly that, you know, left wingers kind of control they control Hollywood and you know, the press and a lot of just like the culture. So people are aware of what they stand for. And the other aspect is that, you know, right wingers are kind of conservatives are kind of inherently reactionary. You're trying to conserve something. So you're fighting against the latest thing. So they're better at knowing the other side. But you see this a lot when left wingers are take on. So he's already, they do this thing where they make up a narrative that I in no way said at all, and then go, that's insane. So you're basically saying Fox News is the centrists because they won't go on board with this crazy conspiracy theory. But it's like, no, I didn't say any of that. None of that was said. You can make up your own thing and claim that that's insane, but you're not dealing with anything that I just said. What I'm saying is that the idea that Fox News is the pro-Trump news station is not true. It's much more complicated than that. To a binary thinker, I think this is a little bit difficult to wrap your head around, because he'll go, but look, Laura Ingraham said something pro-Trump the other night. And you're like, yes, exactly. Laura Ingraham is pro-Trump. Fox News as a network is not. Believe it or not, those can both simultaneously be true. Okay, let's keep playing.
Biden's associates' records don't show proof of Biden business relationship amid unanswered questions. That doesn't mean much.
No, well, what he claimed was that, and they're saying Joe Biden, that he couldn't prove Joe Biden was, it's a very confusing title.
Wait, so is this guy actually a libertarian who's pro Donald Trump? Like, because I was just making fun of these clowns earlier today. So how incredible. It's just that I was just making fun of libertarians earlier today on Twitter. who are like anti-police state and anti-authoritarianism, but then and believe in freedom of travel, freedom of movement, the right to be able to work wherever you want to. Like, that's what libertarianism was about, like full-blown drug decriminalization, and in edge cases about, I don't know, arguing whether or not you could sell your child into sex trafficking. Libertarians would then turn around and they're like, actually, Donald Trump is great, when he's literally the opposite. Like, he ran on the opposite.
So let's just pause it right here. So what you're saying, what you're seeing here is actually a really incredible example of a true binary thinker. Someone who has to, things have to fall into this box or this box. So he's already decided this guy's actually a libertarian Trump supporter who just loves Donald Trump. All because I said, I don't think Fox News is pro-Trump. They're incapable of seeing any nuance there. So if you go, hey, I don't think Fox News is pro-Trump, they're like, so you think Trump is great about everything and you're a Trump supporter. So that's number one. Unbelievable example of binary thinking. While he's calling other people stupid, he's incapable of realizing that actually there could be somebody who's not a fan of Donald Trump, like myself, who wants to see him prosecuted for war crimes, didn't vote for him in 2016, didn't vote for him in 2020, hasn't supported Donald Trump a day in his life, but could also point out that Fox News, who's seen as being the pro-Trump media company, is not in fact that. So he has to, in order to feel smart, fit everything back into one of these two neat boxes so that he can then take on your argument. And the other thing is just what I just talked about. It's really interesting to watch. I mean, look, just listen to his, well, this is what libertarians believe. Have you ever heard any libertarian describe it that way? They're incapable of actually arguing your point for you. This is like why if you're in like a debate club in like high school or something like that, they make you argue both sides, because it's like it's important to expand your mind to be able to now argue the side that you don't even agree with, but do it in a good faith way. Like you have to steel man their arguments. These people are incapable of doing that. So it's already just this kind of like, well, libertarians basically believe you could sell your child into slavery and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But they love Trump because it's, again, nothing like any of this has been said. It's just this goes on in his own mind. But we're the dummies. All right, let's keep playing.
Libertarian principles. Like, he literally ran on the opposite of libertarian principles in every way. There is not a neoliberals are closer to libertarianism. Democrats are closer to libertarianism in principles than Donald Trump is.
Again, I think it's kind of run.
All right, let me just pause
and one second there one more time. Here's how I can sum here, like here I can alleviate all of your problems here, Hassan. Trump's not a libertarian. There you go. Is that what you were trying to get to? Yeah. Trump's not a libertarian and I'm not a Trump supporter. So that just took out your last minute of ranting. All right.
Also, if there was a neoliberal who I guess came forward with policies closer to what we would look for, we would probably be supporting them.
Yes. And it's debatable that neoliberals are closer to libertarianism than Donald Trump. I don't actually think that's true. But truthfully speaking, Donald Trump's policies are closer to neoliberals than to what we'd like to say. All right, let's keep playing. That aspect of it.
Yeah.
The bigger thing is like that this goes on all over the place.
Right.
The conflicts of interest, the corruption. Well, you see where Obama, you know, what spoke after he's president, we get like $400,000 or something like that for mm-hmm. a speech in front of bankers. And he was the guy who like presided over the bank bailout. Yep. And then you get out and it's like, oh, here's four. What? The bankers really just wanted to hear Barack Obama speak.
Wait, this guy can't be a Trump supporter, right? Like, there's no way. Like, you can't be like Obama bad, but then be like, no, but Trump man good. Like, Trump literally unrolled some of the minimal fucking regulatory burdens that the Obama administration put in place in 2008. So like, you literally can't have this take. Like, Trump's Republican Party did this.
And another thing that
You
literally can't have this take that he just made up once again. Oh man, is this guy really saying Trump man good, Obama bad? No, I pointed out a conflict of interest that is factually true that happened. That, by the way, you'd think Mr. Bernie Sanders sign in the background would also kind of have a problem with bailing out big banks and then collecting money from them. And so his response, but again, it's really amazing binary thinking. So what he heard from that is, Trump man good, Obama bad. That is the level of simplistic thinking that you're dealing with these guys. That's what you heard from that situation. I was pointing out that conflicts of interest and borderline bribery exists all over this corrupt political system. Not something that should really offend a left winger with a brain, but we're not dealing with a left winger with a brain. We're dealing with a commie male model who heard Trump good, Obama bad. And then goes, you can't have this take. And the other thing he's saying about Trump, you know, getting rid of banking regulations, I mean, it's not even true. Trump floated out the idea of getting rid of some banking regulations. His idea that you have to be for the banking regulations if you're against the big bankers is really just dumb guy lefty bullshit. The truth is that the regulations that Obama put into place, I guess you're talking about Dodd-Frank, big banks supported it. This is, I know it's really hard for you lefties to wrap your head around, but big business loves big government. Google regulatory capture. That's what's going on in this whole system here. Listen, in 2012, you had Ron Paul running for president, Mitt Romney running for president, and Barack Obama running for president. Goldman Sachs was giving money to both Romney and Obama. You know who they weren't giving any money to? Ron Paul. They don't want to actually have a deregulated banking sector, which is one of the most regulated areas in the entire economy. They don't want deregulation because that'll allow for competition. And they've got a nice fucking cartel system going. They don't want to allow for that. So get the fuck out of here with that fucking basic bitch bullshit. All right, let's keep playing. From the press. So there, I saw it twice now. Was on MSNBC and CNN. Where he was giving a press conference saying how the votes were stolen from him and the system was unfair. And they cut away. They say, we will not show this because he's lying. And then just the other day on Fox News, Neil Cavuto cut away from Trump's press secretary saying there was voter fraud. And he goes, well, you know, we can't verify that, so we can't air this. On our and it's like, look, man, whatever you want to say, this is a story.
Right.
Do you not consider what's going on right now to be a bit of a problem? Because if you think that the media should be irresponsible and like consistently offer coverage to lies from bad faith actors who purposely and deliberately are misinforming the public in an effort to really like get these psychopathic chuds to fully subscribe to this idea that the election is stolen when all evidence says, no, it's not stolen, when there is zero evidence whatsoever the election was fraudulent or stolen, then the media should just offer that full-blown relentless coverage. I'm so confused. Like, what are they supposed to do? Why isn't the media showing this is so silly? This is what they're supposed to do. It's one of these circumstances where they actually get it right. And it's not like they point the camera away and then not talk about it. They've been talking about this shit literally nonstop for the past couple of days. They've literally nonstop been talking about how all of these are lies, okay? And it's good. They're doing actual coverage on it. Why is the media not giving a platform to Flat Earth Society? Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what you
right.
sound
Pause
like.
It. Pause it right there. So that's his clever. Why is the media not giving a platform to the Flat Earth Society? Well, Hassan, if the sitting president of the United States came out and said the Earth is flat, yeah, I think that's fucking newsworthy. I'd kind of want to know, like, what information are you basing this off of? What classified documents have you seen? Like, what's going on here? Yeah, you can disagree with it and still think that's a pretty fucking big story if the president of the United States was saying that. And so, yeah, that is exactly what they're doing, is pointing the camera away and saying nothing to see here. They literally, that's literally what they're doing. They cut off Kayleigh McEnally in the middle of her statement about it, and simply won't let it be aired. And isn't it interesting where you have this fucking commie, this fucking Bernie Sanders supporter? Think about this, right? A Bernie Sanders guy, I mean, I'm just judging by the Bernie sign in the back, going, there's no way an election could be rigged or stolen. Like, okay, dude, they fucking did it to your guy twice in a row. So maybe you should be a little bit skeptical of this whole process. If they're willing to fucking steal it from Bernie Sanders, you don't think they'd be willing to steal it from Donald Trump? And number two, you've got this fucking commie who's defending the corporate press. How fucking pathetic is that? defending the same people who fucking will call you a Nazi as soon as your guy's close to fucking winning this whole thing. You turn around like a bitch and just defend them and go, oh, we know the system's on the up and up because there hasn't been any evidence. Well, actually, there has been a lot of evidence of some shenanigans going on in the election. The only question is whether it was really enough to tip the scales or not, which is debatable. I don't fucking know the answer to that. But I do know that if the sitting president of the United States is claiming an election was stolen from him, that is what we call news. And it should be covered on the news. And the fact that the news is not only just from the starting point saying that's wrong, we're on the side of the establishment, but also saying we won't even show you him claiming that this is fraud and Twitter, you know, like censoring his tweets and shit like that. Well, if you really believe the system was on the up and up, that's the last thing you would want to do. You'd want to fucking like, okay, the last thing you'd want to do is convince the 70 million people who voted for Donald Trump that this is a cover up. And there's no better way to convince them it's a cover up than to censor Donald Trump's reaction to all of this. So that's the point. Dumbass.
All right, I think you said that really well, but he laid out really well what the pro censorship argument is, which is some ideas are so dangerous we're not allowed to show them. And you and I are the ones that are saying, well, that's not the job of the news. That is the news engaging in censorship. And let's also understand that if we give them the ability to editorialize, like, they're wrong a lot. I don't want them making the end-all determination about certain things are not allowed to be shown to us. If for your, like, in your case, what you pointed out well, if the person that 70 million people like decides that there's flat earth, we have to report on that. You don't get to just not report on it.
Yeah.
You can start addressing why it's not true or it's ridiculous, request the evidence, but you can't say, you can't just not let us know that he's making the claim.
Right. And couldn't you, I mean, maybe if Hassan was just like a few IQ points smarter, he could look at the situation and go, you know, I mean, it's not like the news was ever going like, well, we're going to cut away from this person talking about the Steele dossier right now because we can't verify that that's true at all, right? They're not cutting away from the, oh, this guy says Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction because we can't verify if that's true. It's pretty convenient when they choose to use this justification that if something is being said, if an accusation is being made that we can't verify, then we're going to cut away from this and we won't even let you see it. I mean, I remember the former CIA director sitting down on NBC News and saying in 2 weeks, Mueller is going to indict Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and other high ranking members of his cabinet. This is going now. Brian Williams didn't say, well, I got to cut away from him because we can't verify if this is true. No, they said, ooh, fascinating. Very interesting. See, that type of fake news you're allowed to put out there. So even if what Trump's saying is complete bullshit, even if there was no voter fraud whatsoever, it's still a little bit suspicious that this is how the corporate press is treating this situation. All right, let's keep playing.
Do you find it odd that everybody insists that it's impossible to vote like safely and accurately online?
Yes, I find that odd. I also find it really, really odd that we overhauled the way we do voting in this country, mm-hmm. and that now it's almost an entirely different process where both candidates are getting way more votes than they would normally get.
Libertarian, by the way, a right libertarian against, you know, having more democracy. Well, color me surprised, folks. I love hearing from libertarians who actually try to make an argument that it's bad that more people are voting. Like, this dude, you're crazy. Like, you're a crazy person.
The and actual, that's precisely well, okay, why. Okay, so pause it right there. So you can say, you know, I'd love hearing libertarians make an argument that more democracy is bad because you're crazy. Well, at least I'm making an argument. The fuck is that bitch shit? Just call someone a libertarian and say you're crazy? Okay. That's the tactic of a 14-year-old girl. That's not how adults have debates. So, okay, you can just say it's crazy. Listen, man, there is nothing. This is like the religion of all this shit. Democracy isn't inherently good. More people voting isn't inherently good. What, like if fucking 70% of people support slavery, is slavery any better now than it was if 30% of people support it? Doesn't fucking matter. There's nothing noble about democracy unless a majority of people believe in the correct policy. And that's far from a given. So yeah, fuck you. There's no fucking argument there. There's fucking name calling, you dumb fucking male model. This is fucking, there's no, you're not shutting anything down by calling me a libertarian. What does that mean? Yeah, that's right. I don't necessarily think it's good that more low information people get to have a say on how the rest of us are ruled. I don't see that as a given that it's good. I don't think that the majority dictating policy is necessarily good. Okay. Let's keep playing.
You're crazy. Like, you're a crazy person. And that's precisely why there is a pipeline from libertarians of fascism, which is the joke I was making earlier, because they go, I want to be a libertarian. Okay. I want to control all of my means of my own production and also, have my own land and be able to control it and whatever, Wild Wild West style. And then they recognize that, like, oh, that's not going to happen. So they're like, fuck it. You know, I'll just let the government do it for me. I'll just let the government fight my battles for me.
Like, all right, pause it. I've heard a lot of people over the last few years take on this libertarian to alt-right pipeline thing. And I must say that that is by far the dumbest take on it that I've ever seen. But do you get my point about what I was saying before? Their inability to tell you what the other side thinks. Like, I could tell you what a democratic socialist thinks. I could, you know, give you like a 1 minute overview that even like a democratic socialist would be like, yeah, more or less, that's what we believe. We believe that democracy should extend to the workplace. We believe in a living wage for all working people, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's not that hard to do. But when he even tries to tell you what a libertarian believes, it's like one sentence in and it's the most retarded shit you've ever heard in your life. Well, I'm a libertarian because I just want to control my own means of production and Wild Wild West style and blah. Like, this is the thing that John Haidt was getting at with all that research he did, that even when they tell you what the other side believes, it's this caricature that only they have in their head. So if you ask these left wingers, like, what does a right winger believe? They'll right away be like, well, I don't care about other races and I think black people are stupid and blah, blah, blah. But like, if you ask a right winger, that's not at all what they're claiming. So it's very hard for them to do these type of things because they just can't even grapple with what you're actually saying. But it is entertaining to watch them try. All right, let's keep playing.
Like, if we can bank online, we should be able to vote online. And doesn't it seem like if you could use like Apple Pay or Samsung Pay or something like that and go buy something, you know, you use your fingerprint.
It's super famous that the banks notoriously never get hacked. Like, there's no way to intercept your payment processor. So, you know, that would never be able to happen on a mass scale at a time when there's an election or something like that. So it's a good take. This is actually a good take. These are the same people who shit on vote by mail, by the way. Just remember, they shit on vote by mail because they shit on vote by mail, which is analog. And they shit on that because they think like, oh, well, someone will be able to intercept the mail and like change the results. Meanwhile, they're like, why can't we do it over the internet? It's like, dude, it is literally less secure. Like, that is one avenue where you, doesn't matter where the fuck you are on the planet.
The argument against the mail-in voting is that you fabricated ballots, not so much that the ballots got switched. Also, you can create I heard someone tell me this, which sounded really interesting. I mean, the idea that you can't easily verify who people are online, if you want to get creepy about it, you could be doing it through thumbprints or facial recognition. And so at least I guess you'd have less ability to create like more open ballots. You're right. On the back end, same as there's a digital interface for the current voting structure and you can flip votes. So I guess online you could do that. But before, he was even arguing, wait, isn't more votes more of an opportunity for democracy? So I think if you could do it online, that'd be even easier than doing it through mail. But also you could be doing it through blockchain so that you've got a perfect record of everyone so that it could be more easily verified. So, I mean, just as a theoretical, I don't know that your thumbprint idea was necessarily the best idea, but
well,
the
that
idea
was
that
Rogan's.
You can't.
That was Rogan's. Right. I mean, like, you know, I think it was more just like he's just kind of questioning.
Yeah, the idea that you can't have a digital framework by which you can, you know, verify voting and have a better voting protocol than the current system of whatever the fuck is going on with Dominion or creation of ballots and mailing in ballots. It would be more easily verified. I don't really, and his pro, hey, more people can vote, so it'll be more democratic. I don't understand why you wouldn't apply that to a digital voting unless he's going to
sit here and say like, oh yeah, because banking records never get hacked. And it's like, okay, I suppose they do. Are votes always legitimate, Mr. Bernie Sanders supporter? Like, are you telling me that there's no way to rig an election, that there can't be a whole lot of shenanigans that go on? Look, I don't know. Rogan just floated out the idea of like, why can't we do this online? And that's above my pay grade. I don't know like all the ins and outs of how you could have a secure election online or not, but neither does this fucking dork. And his whole argument is it's always relying on arguing against shit that was never said. All right, let's keep playing.
Planet can literally break in and change the outcome of something without even people figuring out that it happened.
We have to basically like 10,000 votes in Wisconsin is going to determine which half of the country is furious and which half is like elated because they get to rule over the other half now. And then hopefully in 4 years they can be happy and you're miserable because they get to rule over you now. It's so bizarre. Democracy in general is a very bizarre process. To have it in a country this big with this powerful of a government, it makes it insane.
Wait, what does he want? Is he advocating for a parliamentary system? Because if so, I'm on board. If he's advocating for a multi-party system that is based off of proportional voting and not necessarily a fucking electoral college type system that's completely anti-democratic, then yeah, no, I'd go off king. This is actually a take that I agree with. But he's a libertarian, so I don't know what he's trying to say.
But I think that truthfully...
All right, pause it one more time.
Kind of a silly... I would just remind Hassan that the fact that he doesn't know what I'm trying to say is not, in fact, an argument. Like, yes, I very much believe that you don't understand what's being said, Hassan. Got it. We're on the same page. Go off, King, if what you're saying is that you don't understand the thoughts being said. Let's keep playing.
He's trying to say.
But I think that truthfully, I think it's kind of a silver lining that at least people are starting to be aware of that. And people are starting to go like, okay, I know that these institutions are not to be trusted. Because truthfully speaking, they got, you know, it's like I was saying to you before we started, where it's like for all the shit that people give Alex Jones, he got all of the biggest stories right over the last 20 years. Yeah. And I'm not saying he didn't get anything wrong, but.
Dude, come on. Dude, what is this, dude? Ugh. Like, was Sandy Hook a little story in that universe then? When he just kept saying like Sandy Hook was a psyop, was a black flag, a false flag operation, and that those kids didn't actually die?
Big things like, should we go to war in Iraq?
Yeah.
Should we bail out bankers? Should all of this? He called these as lies and corruption right away. And the New York Times.
But he's a Trump supporter. Like, now he's gone against all of those previous takes, I guess. I mean, listen, a broken clock rings true twice a day.
Okay, so pause it right there. So is the funny thing when you watch people on the left? I mean, first, I don't know what to say about he just went to like model cutesy face and did the crying noise. I don't know what that means. Look, of course you go to Sandy Hook as your example because you're a hack. And that's the thing that everyone goes to about Alex Jones. Yeah, okay, he got Sandy Hook wrong. But yeah, when you say the major stories, like, yeah, no, a lot more children died in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, in Yemen, than died in Sandy Hook. And yes, he got every single one of those right. These are big stories. This is a lot more than just saying a broken clock is right twice a day. Alex Jones was crying when Donald Trump bombed Syria because he was like, Mr. President, don't let them suck you into this. And hey, guess what? Now we see the reports from the OPCW whistleblower, and it turns out Alex Jones was completely right. We bombed a country. Real people died over bullshit, over a claim that Assad gassed his own people, which he did not. Now, you would think even a lefty like you, if you were a decent lefty, would have to go, yeah, that's pretty important. Like, war and peace is a pretty important thing. And Alex Jones got all of those right. So yeah, that doesn't mean you have to agree with him on everything, but that's, you know, you have to acknowledge that. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Yocratum. Yocratum.com, home of the $60 kilo, the world's best value in Kratom, shipped right to your door. No questions asked. Now, if you've never heard of Kratom before, just ignore this ad. We're not talking to you. No reason to hear this and then go try Kratom. But if you're currently a fan of Kratom, then go celebrate your freedom at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, which is unheard of. YoKratom is one of the biggest sellers of Kratom nationwide, and they made YoKratom.com so you can buy directly at wholesale prices. This is quality Kratom. We've heard great feedback from the fans. They confirm it's solid. And like I said, it's the only place where you can get a kilo for $60. So one last time, go to YoKratom.com, get yourself a $60 kilo. All right, let's keep playing.
He was bound to hit some of the correct tones about like government surveillance. That's why I say I think Alex Jones is a CIA psyop. I think that like he is there to pollute the airwaves with some correct takes and a load of such horribly wrong takes that like no one will take into consideration the times when he is correct. It's a way to cast doubt on statements like the government is surveilling you nonstop. We do live under a surveillance state. That's the truth. However, Alex Jones says that and then follows up with, well, the billionaires are pedophile vampires, interdimensional psychic pedophile vampires.
Psychic vampires stealing the energy from the kids.
How are you going to take anything else he said seriously if you're not brain diseased? Yeah, he didn't even say some of the issues. He said all of the major issues of the past 20 years, which is insane.
Well, they call other news fake news. So they'll say
The New York Times doesn't.
Well, the New York Times may not, but I'm speaking in the corporate press in general. Right. They'll say like, well, there's fake news out on the internet. And even the New York Times has done stories about how social media companies need to do more to, you know, combat right. fake news on the internet and things like that.
But they're talking about like super hardcore QAnon type shit.
Well, kind of. I mean, it starts with that and then they'll use that as an example. But then usually they also go to other things like, look, this New York Post story about Hunter Biden's laptop was called fake news from the day it came out to the...
But it... was like what? I'm so confused. Like I think that
pause
they right in the New York Times
pause it. Hassan, I know you're confused. I have a feeling you're confused quite often, and that's not simply the case when you're watching this video. I think you're confused a lot, bro. But again, that's not an argument. You being confused or not understanding something is a you problem. Has nothing to do with me. All right, let's keep playing.
And all other mainstream outlets, 100%, sometimes in unison, purposefully operate as a branch of the government that basically pumps out State Department propaganda. Look no further than the way that the New York Times is still covering Evo Morales, for example. Like, there's someone out there that's doing international politics. It's at the New York Times, it's just straight the fuck up, like, thinks that a coup is going to happen. So they're an inevitable coup is going to happen. They're you know, cushioning up for it. Okay. It happens quite frequently on issues where there is bipartisan consensus, but the New York Times didn't cover Hunter Biden foot job. And you know, or more importantly, when they covered it, they said that this is not necessarily real or something we can take seriously. Well, that's a little different. Now, I was one of the first people that even argued with the, with people in my chat, libs in my chat, about the Hunter Biden laptop. And I told you, it's very likely Hunter Biden's iCloud or some shit getting owned. And there is certainly real footage there after it got owned, being dumped into a hard drive somewhere, and then suspiciously making its way to Rudy Giuliani by way of a QAnon supporting or MacBook repair shop owner. I admit that the information on there was legitimate. It's just what you do with that information.
All right, hold on. So pause it very quick. God damn, Hassan really is confused. So first you said it was fake news, and now you're saying the information on there is legitimate. So which one is it? Is it legitimate or is it fake news? And no, of course the story is not Hunter Biden getting a foot job. That's just a dumb little funny thing that happened to get found there. The scandal that's on the computer is the fact that there are these emails that have been verified by the other parties on the email chains that where he's talking about the huge business he's doing in foreign countries. And that's not disputed at all. This is we know this for a fact. So that's all I'm saying is a scandal. And the fact that that would get silenced a couple weeks out of an election, specifically because it hurt one of the candidates, that is revealing of what the corporate press's agenda is. Okay, so let's hear some more from this confused young man. Yeah.
It's entirely different. If you look at that information and be like, Hunter Biden's doing crack. Yeah, that's real. He did. or he has a nice cock, yeah, that's true. Okay, if you saw it, he's a nice cock. But if you look at that information and say, well, this proves that he was dealing with Ukraine getting Joe Biden kickbacks from the Ukrainian government or some shit, or from Burisma, well, no, that's false. That's literally not true.
This model can't even evaluate cocks.
Not true. The New York Times shouldn't say that it is, just because it makes you fifis feel better.
Not only would all of the corporate press not report on it, but that social media companies were banning the link, and Twitter froze the New York Post's Twitter account.
One of the CNN journalists on Twitter called it Russian disinformation.
Yes, there's a bunch of people called it Russian disinformation.
I'm not going to lie. I'm fairly certain it was Russian disinformation. And I'm an anti-Russiagate Andy, okay? I am not even remotely surprised if it was, and I do think it is still to this day, a classic in classic fucking Russian ops. Like, it's just what you make of it. Who the fuck hacked into Hunter Biden's laptop? I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same people that were able to hack into the DNC and RNC and make its way to WikiLeaks. Like, I don't think that that's like that suspicious, unless you literally believe that, like,
so I don't care if Hassan, first of all, I'm not into the Russiagate thing. Yes, you are. If you're talking about how the DNC was hacked and then delivered from Russia, then that's pretty much the origins of Russiagate. I don't care if you say you believe this was Russian disinformation, or you believe that the DNC was hacked by Russia, or whatever the fuck you're saying. What evidence do you have of it? What evidence? Zero. Because there is zero evidence that this was Russian disinformation. It was just a bullshit claim used by the Biden administration and the corporate press and a bunch of ex fucking intelligence officials who hadn't seen any intelligence to verify that. There's also no evidence that this was hacked, that this was hacked information at all. This was a laptop that had become rightfully owned by this laptop repair shop guy. So this is all just fucking bullshit. And the idea that you're going to get right behind it, oh yeah, it's Russian disinformation. Man, I wish the fucking commies were at least good for what they're supposed to be good for. You don't take the word of the CIA and blame Russia for everything. You can't count on a commie to fucking not take the word of the CIA and blame Russia. What the fuck are you guys good for? Anyway, let's keep playing.
Unless you literally believe that, like, Hunter Biden flew from Los Angeles to Delaware, left his laptop there at this like random QAnon repair shop, and then that QAnon repair shop guy was like, oh, well, this is Hunter Biden's laptop. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Ooh, better send this to the FBI while also making a hard copy of the hard drive. And then, oh, FBI's not doing anything about it. Well, I guess I should give it to Rudy fucking Giuliani, who will now be the sole like owner of this information and refuses to show it to everybody and only sends it out in small batches of the New York Post, which all the people that were releasing this information didn't want to have their names associated with it on the byline, literally because of how unfalsified most of this stuff was. But hey, no, all of that is still, despite all of these things that happened, despite all these irregularities, despite the fact that there were so many different hurdles along the way, it's probably still real. I want to believe the Fox News narrative. You are basically, not even the Fox News narrative, sorry, even the Wall Street Journal op-ed page, which has in the past literally advocated for Jair Bolsonaro and also Pinochet, for that matter, two fascists have said that this was too much. The Hunter Biden laptops were far too much for them. That was a step that they wouldn't take. Despite all of that, if you are still under the assumption that this is real shit and it came out exactly the way that Rudy Giuliani, who is very clearly not an honest actor, then, you know, you got to get your head checked out a little bit. Yeah, it was not Russian, but Chinese, though, as in the CPC, but a billionaire Chinese exile named Guo Wengui. Yeah, the speculation is that it's linked back to the same billionaire oligarch that Steve Bannon was on the yacht of when he got arrested by the boys in the blue, the real boys in the blue, aka the U.S. Postal Service.
I love how he just fucking goes from making fun of what a conspiracy theorist you'd have to be to diving into his own conspiracies. Because, oh, so you really believe that this guy flew all the way there and then this QAnon believing computer shop repair guy and then blah, 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 blah. And then like a sentence earlier, he's saying that Alex Jones is put out by the CIA. And now he's saying that it was actually the CCP who ended up doing this. Like, okay, buddy, look, here's what we fucking have. We have Hunter Biden's signature at the laptop repair shop that matches up with other people's. We have the refusal of them to deny that this was Hunter Biden's laptop. We also have verification from other people on the email chains, and it's about business dealings that we know Hunter Biden was doing. There is nothing about what Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma. Nobody's questioning that. That's a fact. Hunter Biden's admitted it. He's admitted that he was trading his father's name. None of this is conspiracy theory. We all know that this has happened. So I don't know what the fuck this guy's talking about. All right, let's keep playing.
Network was the only place where you could find the Hunter Biden pornography and whatnot. And they were constantly 24/7 spamming that.
Well, look, it's basically been verified that this was Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, within any reasonable standard for a journalist to verify something, I mean, number one, the Bidens didn't deny it. Like, nobody actually came out and denied that this was.
Yeah, because very clearly he got owned, okay? Why would they come out and be like, oh, the videos where my son's getting a foot job while smoking crack? Yeah, let's deny it or confirm it one way or the other. Like, that's so stupid. Also, none of this has anything to do with Joe Biden. Like, Hunter Biden running around doing whatever the fuck he wants to does not reflect on Joe Biden. Like, I don't understand how this is like a conversation we're still having. Oh, God.
About Hunter Biden, who is very clearly a swamp creature, who was selling his father's name to rake in money from foreign companies. Now, truth be told, that's a kind of run-of-the-mill scandal as far as politics go. It's normal. Every senator's kid, family, wife, they all do stuff like this all the time. It's a corrupt swamp, you know? But it's a story, nonetheless.
We don't even know if it's legal to cover half the shit. It's like when the fappening happened. You remember when like all the celebrities got owned and then, you know, all of their fucking nudes and shit leaked on the internet? And the coverage was around like not covering the stories or not showing any of that. And the reason for that was because it's hacked material that is supposed to be kept private. Like, now, I don't have an issue with hacked material as long as it's credible and as long as it's verified material that is in the interest of the public to know. Hunter Biden's cock getting rubbed by someone's fucking foot soles is not.
All right, let's just pause it right there. And I'm done with the fucking video. I just can't. I think that's the last 10 seconds of it anyway. I can't take any more of this fucking retard. So I don't know. Hassan seems to have a weird obsession with Hunter Biden's cock because he's talking about
it a
lot.
Cock.
Well, listen, that may be the case. But I didn't bring that up once, and it's not what I was talking about at all. I wasn't saying what I'm saying that the Joe Biden administration didn't deny it. Hassan is claiming that this wasn't his laptop. That's not what this was. So if it wasn't, wouldn't you kind of expect when this was a story coming out that the Biden campaign would have said, yeah, this isn't his. This is bullshit. That's all I'm saying. If somebody is lying about you, you'll usually call that out as a lie. Like what Trump did with the story on his tax returns. He goes, no, that's not true. None of this is true. This isn't accurate. So that's all I'm saying is the fact that you would expect them to say this is a lie. Now, in terms of as far as the Hunter Biden getting money from foreign countries and stuff like that, yeah, it's absolutely real. He confirmed it. Hunter Biden himself confirmed it. He was on the board. It's public information. None of this is a conspiracy theory. And yes, I'm sorry. I really don't understand where these fucking lefties who claim that they want to take on corporations and corporate control and all of this shit, couldn't see that, like, yeah, it's a little bit weird that you would freeze, that Twitter would freeze a fucking newspaper's Twitter account and ban the link from the story. Really, you guys don't have any problem with that? It's amazing what fucking bootlickers these supposed fucking male model commies become when all of a sudden they're sitting there defending the corporate press, defending big corporations, and defending the fucking political establishment. This is why they're never going to fucking be a threat to anybody. But anyway, so I guess that's me taking on this thing. I just thought it was like incredibly stupid. But anyway, if Hassan ever wants to sit down and fucking debate some of these ideas out, I'm more than happy to do it. I was unimpressed with that video. And I think there might have been a little nepotism going on with this guy getting a job at the Young Turks to begin
I'll
with.
I'll compare abs with him sometime. Or if he wants to do like a makeup like talk, we can like, yeah, you know, do each other's nails and just talk about looking pretty.
So you've got a couple of offers on this show, Hasan. There you go. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode. Peace.